What am I now? Oh gosh, how do I? How do I? So bad at this stuff. So I'm trying to turn off the face thing, but I can't do it.
Well, you have to look at my ceiling. I refuse to do FaceTime.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. Your ceiling's quite nice. It's like I'm looking at a floor.
Everyone always goes, "What's wrong with your FaceTime? I can't see anything but the ceiling." It's like, yeah, it's nothing wrong with it.
I'm gonna try and turn off the. I don't know. You've got like a. Is that a? That's not a smoke alarm. It looks like you've got a. Like a boxing bell right at the top there. See that black? What is that?
Boxing bell.
It's like a ding ding.
I think it's an old light fitting thing.
Ah, it is too.
I think they've moved the light.
I think someone pointed out once that the only person who looks at your roof is your dad when he walks in and goes, look at that. What's up with you? Never look at the roof anyway.
No, you don't. I've never noticed that until you pointed it out.
Yeah, no, who looks at the roof? But that's interesting. You've got boards on your roof. It's like normally it's plaster, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm wondering whether the plan originally was that they were going to actually stick another level on top and then they just never did.
Is that a 70s renovation? It looks like it could be a 70s Norwegian look too.
It's 70s, 80s, as you'll see by the...
Oh, the exposed brick. Yeah. Oh, you gave
it's
me a bit
very
of...
brick.
Oh, how tantalising. Yeah. You gave me a bit of the wall. No, because fair enough, because I said to Denise Scott, I got a FaceTime. She goes, oh, I've got to put on makeup. I went, oh, no, I'm not going to do the visual. But then I didn't know how to turn the thing off. Anyway, look, doesn't matter. How are you anyway?
You have to press FaceTime audio.
I know. I thought I did, but I don't. Look, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. Exactly. Now I was just telling you before I called, when I called you on the normal phone, that I was in the chemist getting my flu shot.
Oh, that's where I got mine too. I got mine at Priceline.
That's a good jingle. Any jingle I can remember is a good jingle. You pay less at Priceline, wasn't it?
It's true, yeah.
And I just saw another comedian in the chemist. And if you're ever going to see a comedian in the chemist, this is the person you would see.
Oh, Luke McGregor.
Oh, my God, you got it.
Oh! I was trying to think of someone who'd be, like, fastidious about, you know, health and panic. And I remembered his story about when the pig spat in his mouth or something on Rosehaven.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right.
He'd be there buying more disinfectant.
And also just that nervous kind of type, and he goes, I'm not buying anything weird. And he goes, don't worry, I won't tell anyone if you're buying weird stuff. It's all right. It's okay.
But my sister used to work in a chemist when she was a teenager, and like, she's really embarrassed about it now, but she used to take pride in shaming people that were buying condoms.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she wouldn't give them a bag. She'd make them ask for a bag. And now you think about it, you go, what was I doing? Why was I doing that?
Imagine some people would leave and be so embarrassed and then get someone pregnant. So
So really, you're just causing teen pregnancies.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Is that Penny, your sister, who was in
yes.
Club Hoy?
Yes.
Well, I had that. You know, I had that EP.
So did my neighbour. My new neighbour, I was here and I was listening, and he's got a record player, and he was playing records the other day, and it was my sister's record.
Oh, that's kind of bizarre.
Yeah. That's he delights odd. In telling me that he has no idea who I am, but he's a big fan of my sister.
Oh, there you go.
People love telling you they don't know who you are.
Oh. I remember I pulled up once at a bus stop, and they're all school kids, and they're... And I mean, I'm not that well known, but they knew me. And they were yelling, Dave. And the teacher actually leant in my window and said, "I'm sorry, I don't know who you are." And I said, "Well, ask your students. They know who I am."
But it's not like you ever walk up to someone and say, "Don't you?" Like, I would understand if someone said, "I don't know who you are," if I'd said, "Don't you know who I am?"
Yeah, I know.
But like, when they just use it as an opening gambit. It's like it's quite aggressive.
Or the one.
Yeah, I've got no idea who you are. So that's okay.
Yeah, I don't care. Or the one, my friend said that you're famous, but I don't know who you are. And then they want an explanation. there was an Irish author who wrote a book. I can't remember her name, but she wrote a book. And the title was, Are You Somebody? Because she had a woman come up to her and say, excuse me, are you somebody? She's like, well, yeah, we're all somebody.
That's that great Eddie Murphy heckle that he talks about that you get from, you know, you hear a black woman's voice at the back of a comedy room that just goes, you ain't nobody. Oh, yeah.
You ain't nobody.
Oh, such a good line. You ain't nobody.
You ain't nobody. Well, you know what? And so how you enjoying isolation? If anyone has ever been prepared, I reckon, I can't think of a person that I know. I'm trying to think of anyone who, and you live by yourself, so with your floorboarded roof, and I can't think of anyone who's more prepared for self-isolation than you in the comedy world. I'm trying to think of anyone
else. Yeah, I know. I kind of, like, nothing really has changed for me. I live by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really, you know, I don't go out a lot. Like, I'm not a big social person. The only reason I really go out is for work.
Yeah, to do gigs, yeah.
Yeah, and I've never really been a hugger or a toucher.
Oh, you know what? So, that's something we have in common, because I'm not a hugger, and my wife's family, they all hug you. You're like, oh, keep away.
I don't mind if I know who's a hugger and who isn't, but what I find awkward is never knowing. There's no standard in Australia. Like, if you're in France, you know the standard is, okay, kiss on both cheeks.
Yeah,
if you're in Amsterdam, you know it's 3, which is excessive, but you know that that's what they do.
Yeah.
But here, there's no standard. So you're constantly going, I don't know, do I go in for a hug or just, it's constantly awkward. So
that's
prefer everyone stand back a meter and a half and just wave at each other awkwardly. That suits me a T.
Were your parents huggers or they mustn't have been?
I don't think in the 70s in this country anyone was a hugger. We weren't doing hugging. And hugging sort of came in the 80s, 90s, I reckon.
Yeah, my parents weren't huggers, and it's so funny to see them in Europe with my brother who lives in Switzerland with his Swiss-Italian in-laws, and they kiss 3 times. Like,
yeah, three's a lot.
And just to hear Dad's voice, Dad's sounds he makes, all right, yeah, okay, we're doing this. Yeah, all right.
Well, see, that's what I'm like. Like, whenever I'm doing it, I always feel the need to commentate to cover the awkwardness. Like, I go,
we're doing this.
Yep, going in for a hug, going in for a hug. Here we go, There's a hug. Oh, just a handshake. It's just...
Yeah, but also being a larger man, people love to hug you too. When you're fat, they love hugging fat people. Oh, give us a cuddle. So you're not fat, so you don't get that one.
But you're saying that, like, that's the difference between a hug and a cuddle, and I would find it really weird if someone cuddled me hello.
Oh, people do. If you're big and jolly, like myself, they love a bit of, oh. See, they're not doing that to hot Tom Gleason, are they? They're not giving him a cuddle, you know.
But no, that'd be quite a good end to Hard Quiz when he, kicked people out. They came over to give him a cuddle as they left.
Oh, that's funny. So you've got dogs, so you must get out. The dogs must love you. I know you said to me that the dogs love that you're at home.
I've got two dogs and a cat, and the dogs just couldn't be happier, because usually when I do gigs and I go away, they have to go to a minder, and they've got a really nice minder.
Yeah.
And the minder was very sweet the other day. They called me and said they missed my dogs, and could I bring them over to, lend them to them for a day?
Oh, that's nice.
But, the dogs are so happy that they just get to hang out at home and we just go for walks.
What sort of dogs are they? I'm not a dog.
Havanese.
What are they?
Havanese, little dogs from Cuba.
Oh. So is that a cross
between... I didn't get them from Cuba.
Yeah. Is that a cross between a Pekingese and something else or no?
No, it's a breed that comes from Havana in Cuba.
Oh. So it's like a Chihuahua?
There's none there anymore. There's none in Cuba.
Right,
they all got out. They all escaped in that flotilla.
They got out in the Bay of Pigs. Yeah, the Bay of Pigs.
Yeah,
they
all went across to Florida. That's where you find most of them.
Really? And so do they look like a Chihuahua, or are they bigger than a Chihuahua?
No, they look like, the best description is if you took, the Dulux dog.
Yes.
If you took that dog and shrank it to about the size of a small Cocker Spaniel.
Mm. Oh, okay, I get it.
And made it brown and white instead of grey.
Cute.
And white. So that's what they look like.
On a side note, I've done a gig with the Dulux dog. It's an actual thing. It's a real dog. It's like a...
There's only one?
Yeah, there's only one that they use in the photos. And I remember...
I don't believe that for a minute. That's like when they constantly use twins on those.
No, the guy said, you've got to hurry up because we've got Marty or whatever the dog here. I'm like, who's that? That's a Dulux dog, man. All the sales rep want their photo with a Dulux dog. They don't want their photo with you.
Only you. Only yeah. you would have done a gig with a Dulux dog.
And I also did an ad with a Devondale cow from the Devondale.
He's a drawing.
Yeah, no, but he's a drawing of a real cow. And when I swear it was in the car park of the studio where they're filming. I was playing Oliver Hardy in an ad, in a butter ad. And the guy said, we've got to hurry up because the Devondale cow's getting antsy in the car park. So I went outside and there it was. It was like a cow in a car park in Richmond getting real, and it was getting a bit funny, like, poor thing.
The way you describe it, though, is like the cow was in his car, like, yeah. waiting. Yeah. He was come in the car on. Park.
Come on, you idiot. What's come going on in there? What's O'Neill doing? Anyway, good memories, good memories. I made a good, because again, I'm fat and jolly, I made a good Oliver Hardy. Oliver Hardy, that's his name, yeah. Anyway, look, it's good to talk to you in isolation, but where, are you missing doing live work? Because
I am missing gigs. I've done a few segments for the project just to kind of, you know, make sure that I come up with some jokes, but it's not the same, you know, you can't see who you're talking to and... They're very generous and they're very nice to laugh at you, but it's really quite disheartening just doing jokes into the air and getting no laughs.
Yeah, so it's like that's like a kickback for you to, 5 years ago you were doing crosses there, weren't you? No,
longer,
maybe 10 years.
I know. It's ages.
Yeah, right, ages but since I did it. Even then they had a studio audience, I take it, laughing at your jokes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So now,
but have you done any, because I keep getting asked to do Zoom gigs. Have you done Zoom gigs?
No. Nah,
what I've about been... your kids? Do your kids go on Zoom with their friends?
But also lessons. Like, so in my dining room kitchen, we've got two kids on computers and then the third one in the playroom next to it. And sometimes they're all on a Zoom meeting. And so you don't know when they're on a Zoom meeting or not. And so my daughter will go, that's just wrong. I go, what? She goes, I'm on a Zoom meeting. Oh, okay. And then she go, you're an idiot. I'm going, what? No, I'm not talking. I'm talking to my friend. It's like, so yeah, they're Zoom. Zoom is well entrenched in the education system at the moment, but I haven't done any. I've been asked to do them, but so far I haven't done any because I just think, I mean, Hamish is doing it so well with his Zoom for one more, but he's just doing it for fun. Whereas
what's that?
He just crashes. People get him to crash Zoom meetings. So, you know, they're having a boring meeting at like the power company. And then Hamish pops up and mucks around and they all love him.
Yeah, I did one of those where I, you know, was supposed to crash a teacher's staff meeting and be the, you know.
Yeah, the light relief.
The interesting person in the thing. And I just felt like, you know, all the teachers were just staring at me going, you ain't nobody.
Yeah.
I just felt like I was interrupting and I wasn't fun. And they were just going, why is she here? Is she lost? Should she be in another meeting?
Yeah.
She clicked on ours by mistake and it just went so horribly wrong that I just kind of went, okay, everyone, bye. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
See, just got out.
See, that's the problem with those, I mean, as I think I've done teachers a lot and you've got to really be with them and talk to them and you can't just do it on Zoom. Teachers are a hard audience, I reckon.
They are a hard audience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they've seen a lot of stuff in their day, I reckon.
They've seen a lot of stuff.
Seen a lot of stuff. But, I mean, I've done staff rooms where I've just walked into the staff room as a surprise with no microphone and just gone, and they've gone, hey, we've got Dave O'Neill. And, like, I reckon 30% of them know who I am and 70% are like, why is this fat guy talking to us? Like... And the last one I did, the vice principal was a young guy and he was wearing a suit and tie and was the western suburbs of Melbourne. He didn't have to, but he was, like, obviously on the right. He was on the up, you know what I mean? Like, he was, and I kept picking on him, like... Oh, you think you're after the big job, aren't you, mate? Oh, look at you. And the woman said they had complaints about me. So anyway, that was good.
What complaints about your staff?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Don't you love a complaint? Do you get complaints ever? No.
I'm trying to think of the last time I had complaints.
I'm sure
there have been complaints, but, you know, maybe they're just not passed on to me anymore. And I'm not on social media in a big way, I tend to avoid most. That's where most of the complaining happens.
Yeah, well, I did a dog food awards night in Bathurst. And you laugh, but you did it the year before me.
I was about to say, you know, I did a gig and I think
Uncle Toby's. Uncle Toby's, maybe? Something like that?
I thought it was something to do with Mars, I thought.
Oh, actually, it might have been Mars. They make dog food too. It might have been
Mars. Yeah.
And it was in the RSL. And the guy said to me afterwards, you were better than Kitty Flanagan. And I said, oh. I go, oh. And I go, was I funnier? And he goes, oh, no. But you hung around and talked to us, which was So you were funnier, but you didn't hang around and talk to the dog food people, apparently.
I don't think I even had dogs back then. So.
No, you had nothing to talk about. I don't have dogs. Yeah. I have a cat. But
I would hang around now at a dog food convention. That would actually be a highlight for me.
Yeah, and you could get some freebies too. They love. They got a lot of. But, I mean, you know, you're not paid to hang around and talk anyway. That's the thing. But
yeah, but you're quite right to do it, though, because I've learned that. Like, if I ever do a gig that's not great,
yeah, you hang
I
around.
I hang around because I think the hanging around is the bit they remember.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they want their photo with you and stuff like that, you know.
And then they forget that you were, like, kind of average on stage. Yeah. Like, oh, she was nice.
She was great. She was such a lovely person.
So I've learned my lesson since the dog food gig.
Well, no, you did well. You were very funny, he said, this guy. you didn't hang around and talk to him. Now, you've got to go. I've got these three questions I ask everyone. Okay, you ready?
Okay, sure.
Okay, yep. Well, what was the last thing you cooked?
Last night I made the most delicious baked lemon chicken and rice.
Oh, yum. Because
just put it in the oven. Oh, my God. It was divine. It was, yeah. I could just have eaten the rice. I didn't even really need the chicken. I still ate the chicken.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you just put all this lemon juice and stock and oregano and just into the oven and bake it, and it just comes out delicious.
Because as Sam Pang, I think he said to me in a tweet that you're quite happy to have Doritos for tea, and that's it.
Oh, I would happily eat Doritos for dinner. Oh. On a normal day, but now that I'm home all the time, I don't even have to.
No.
Because I've got so much time to cook.
Oh,
it's
no.
Usually just I come home from doing a gig and I go, oh, what can I eat? I forgot to take something out of the freezer, or I'll just have some Doritos while I cook something. And then I go, oh, do you know what? I might just keep eating Doritos, finish the bag. There's 200 grams there. That's a meal.
Oh, yeah, yum. I love Doritos. Oh, yeah. You know,
Someone made me feel really bad for a while. They told me that Doritos had palm oil in them.
Yeah, do they?
And they were on that list of things that you shouldn't buy.
Like
and
Nutella.
So I stopped buying them for a while. Yeah, and then I went, oh, I don't think it's true anymore. So I started eating them again. there's just no better corn chip.
No, they're a great corn chip. Absolutely.
I try and buy those healthy ones that you just get in the health food stores and just buy them. This is just like eating bits of cardboard. There's no reward if they haven't got that cheese powder on them.
Yeah, well, you know the Aldi, a home brand Aldi corn chips are beautiful.
I never buy stuff from Aldi because I can't be bothered queuing. I'm so lazy. Anyone who shopped at Aldi was so prepared for this pandemic because they're used to queuing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Aldi, but I know the corn chips are good. Occasionally you hit a home brand that is good, and their home brand chips are good. well, with me and you actually, people don't know this, but we actually communicate a lot about junk food. So we have a lot of conversations about it. And
we had a plan. We had a plan. We were going to do our own podcast, and then the pandemic hit. Well, but I hope it still happens.
Yeah, it will still happen. Don't worry about that. I've got the equipment. Yeah, because it is very surprising to find that you are a junk food fiend, like myself.
Yeah, I am. Fiend is the word. Oh, yeah, I just love it.
And you know, I mentioned something and you know it all. You're not one of those people that doesn't know stuff, you know? Like, you know when someone says they're into footy or whatever, and then I'm not into footy, but then you ask them something, then you go, you're not really into footy. You know what I mean? Where they just go, yeah, I love music. I love 80s music. And you go, what about Spandau Ballet? And you're like, oh, they had some good songs. You're like, you don't know. You're just saying.
No,
that.
I'm across all genres of junk food, whether it's a savoury snack.
Savoury or sweet. Yes.
Yeah, whether it's a lolly or a chocolate, whether it's an ice cream, I'm across all the genres.
Absolutely. There hasn't been one thing that I haven't texted you or mentioned that you just go, you don't have an opinion on, for example.
Well, back at you, Dave. You know, it's been quite an outlet for me. I've really enjoyed it because it's been my secret shame for so long. And so it's been so good to have someone to talk to about.
Well, that's right. So my partner's like, oh, that's disgusting. What are you, a child? That's disgusting, you know. And then other comics, like some people like, I remember reading Tom Gleason said he doesn't like lollies. Like he said, that's for children. It's like, well, you're not my friend anymore. Okay.
I just feel like, well, that's sad for you.
Yeah, exactly. Missing out. Okay. Second question. Sorry. Well, what was the last thing you watched or listened to?
I listened to a really good podcast the other day. It was one of the This American Life.
Oh, that's they're very good though.
And it was the one entitled Fiasco, and it had three of the funniest stories, honestly, that I've ever heard or ever heard told. So Fiasco on This American Life. Listen to that one. It really was making me cack out loud.
Like real stories, like true stories.
Yeah, real genuine stories. Just stories of fiascos. Just my favorite thing in the world. Just when something goes wrong and then just compounds and goes horribly, horribly, horribly wrong.
Oh man,
so funny.
They have such good. We were driving somewhere. And we listened with the kids to one, and they just went to different places, countries that had walls, like the Israeli wall. And
then
and it was really interesting. They went to Morocco, where there's a Spanish colony that has a wall around. It's like an island off Morocco. Not even an island. Yeah. It's like sort of like a little...
Just like a garrison town.
Yeah. Yeah, like Gibraltar in Spain, but in Morocco, and they have a wall there. And they just interviewed people on both sides. God, it was good.
Unreal.
I know. Okay, all right, last question. What was the last... This could be... difficult for you? What was the last human contact you had? Because most people go, oh, my kids,
last human contact.
Because your partner's in another state, so that's going to be difficult.
He is, I know, it's really hard. He's, he's ways away, and there's no flights.
No.
last human contact I had. It was probably it was my neighbour, who I didn't know she was my neighbour, but she works in the Albert Park Deli.
Oh, wow.
And they sell this really delicious apple cake that I just discovered the other day. So now I've been going up there every couple of days to buy another piece of apple cake.
God, that joint has been going for years, that deli.
Yeah. And I've never really gone in there because I've had no reason. And also I find like it's a bit option anxiety for me. They've got a bit too much
stuff.
They
have got a lot,
In the counter, and I can never really make a decision. So I was just go, too many choices and leave. But I saw this apple cake in the window, went in, and the woman said, you're my new neighbour, because I've only just moved into the area. And so I discovered my neighbour works in my favourite apple cake shop.
Oh, there you go. She can bring some home with her.
I probably talked at her for a bit long.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I didn't mean to start like a 10-minute conversation. You can go now. Please take your apple cake and go.
But, in that same street, Jock's Ice Cream is very good. Have you been there?
Yes. Yeah, and I was just really talking good. To the Jock's Ice Cream lady the other day too, because I was up there buying my big Jock's ice cream.
And he delivers too, I noticed. Well, that's all good. Thanks for being on my podcast. And we should also play, it's going to be a long way up, but you've got a TV show. And I know you can't talk about it, but it was on the internet that Screen Australia have funded a sitcom, or as we call it these days, a narrative comedy, is it?
And it's called... I like to just call it a comedy series.
That's a good one, yeah.
I don't know how much narrative there'll be involved.
ABC, and it's about you. It's called, listen to me, I'm just remembering it. Entitled, is that right?
It's called Entitled, and it's about a probate lawyer, so someone who works in wills and estates. So when people are either, it's amazing how many people are either not left something or they are left something, or people think someone shouldn't have been left something. So it's all that kind of...
What a great idea.
All that stuff that happens when somebody dies and doesn't share it out evenly. And it doesn't matter how evenly they share it out, someone will always say it wasn't evenly shared out.
You know what this is great news for? Actors over 60 in Australia.
It really is. Every time we're writing, we just go, oh, God, we need another 60-year-old. Yeah. This. We're trying desperately to find roles for young people.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. Well, anyone deserves a sitcom. It's you, for sure. So that's great.
Oh, thanks, Dave. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
When the isolation is lifted.
When it ends.
And we can eat savoury snacks together in the same room.
Yeah, yum. Yeah, because we've really got to be in the same room to do it, because we're going to do blind tests and stuff. So.
Yeah, got some really good segments planned.
Oh, man.
I've never been more excited. I've been asked to do so many podcasts, and I was going, I just don't have anything interesting to say. And I'm not necessarily saying I have something interesting to say about junk food, but, gee, I've got a lot to say about it.
Yeah, but you're passionate, and that's what we need. We need passion.
I am. I'm passionate.
It's like those guys that do podcasts about soccer or whatever, or footy, or, it's like you can hear the passion.
There'll be a small target market out there who'll enjoy it.
Yeah, a lot of fat people, whatever, who cares?
We can call it junk food and cuddles.
Junk food and cuddles. Kitty Flanagan, thanks for talking to me.
Cheers, Dave.